Hi, this is the Social Jello with Angelo show. My name's Angelo. I'm a social scientist, surfer, martial artist, and a whole lot of other things. Coming to you live from Kasai City, Japan, the Social Jello with Angelo show.
What's up? And welcome to another episode of Social Jello with Angelo. I am here with Andy Henson. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you got it, man.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm here with Andrew Henson. Hey, Andrew. Ah, I already did it.
Oh,
I
messed it up. That's my name.
Okay, it's still your name. Okay, I'm still within the parameters. Andy is a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu black belt instructor through the Pedro Sauer lineage, and also a Kata Zenpo Goshin Jitsu instructor as well. He's got both backgrounds. Today is all about Kata Zenpo. Weird thing, if I remember this correctly, so Kata Zenpo, I saw this name come up when I was looking at the Kajikembo family tree. I see mm-hmm. Kata Zenpo like towards the top, and then it kind of goes off to the corner. And that's what I wanted to talk about. And I've had some people ask me about Kata Zenpo, and I know it had something to do with Godin and something to do with something, and I kind of get fuzzy on the details. And I let everyone know all the time, I am not a martial arts historian. I have people on the show that sometimes know more about lineages than I do. And whenever my best thing is, and for anybody watching right now that might do Kata Zenpo and be like, that guy's not really a Kata Zenpo black belt. I've had people be like, oh, that guy's not really a Kajikembo black belt. And people like get all whatever that is. I always tell them, hey, the person I talk to is the person I talk to. This is the lineage that they follow. This is what they were told. I think that's really important because some people will be, according to my records, and they go into that really geeky, nerdy conversation that I just really don't like to take a part of. I like to be on the mats. That's honestly, put me on the mats. Let's train. Let's spar. I don't put too much thought or what's the word I'm looking for? I don't put a lot of stock.
Yeah.
I don't put a lot of stock in who trained who and how far back that goes. I mostly look at what they're doing right now. And I can tell you right now, I follow Andy's Instagram and also his Facebook content. And I really like what he's doing at his school.
Thank you.
It's a cross of what I've seen John Hackelman do in his school with some MMA, a little bit of Kempo and a little bit of mixed martial arts and then some jiu-jitsu in there too. So like I like that. That's mostly why I have him on the show. Now, what we're going to find out now is what I'm asking then is he had a lot to say about this thing called Kata Zenpo. Let's just start with. So when he told me Kata Zenpo, I made the same face that people make when I tell them Kajikembo.
Yeah.
I say Kajikembo to someone, they're like, Kaju. And they'll always fuck it up every time. Okay. Every time. I do Kajikembo. You do Kajikembo? No. Kajikembo. No. What? Kaja what? And it's like that kind of, and I kind of, and I realized like when you told me that, I'm like, oh, okay, now I know what it feels like to be on the other end of this conversation. So let's just start with that. Kata Zenpo, how is that related to Kajikembo?
All right. Well, as you know, from martial arts history, I'm like you, I'd rather be on the mats training as well, but I do enjoy the history. I like to know where things come from because you can learn a lot. You can learn what to do from people who came before you, and you can also learn what not to do from those who came before you. So, you know, Kempo's got a crazy history anyway. So technically, I have my fifth degree black belt. This gets sketchy. In Shaolin Kempo. Shaolin Kempo is Kata Zenpo Goshin Jitsu. And Kata Zenpo Goshin Jitsu is basically Kajikembo. See, I have my notebook here that I give to all my students. I have our family tree and lineage and all that. I've got my jiu-jitsu lineage and our Kempo lineage in here. So basically what I've been told, and I'm sure somebody out there might be like, oh, this dude's full of crap, he's wrong, whatever. But I've asked quite a few different high-ranking masters, Kempo Joe. I used to go to Atlantic City every year to the martial arts, Action Martial Arts Festival. And I find other Kempo masters, because a lot of stuff we hear, man, it's like, I love martial arts history, but you find out a lot of it is just BS. It's crap. People make up stuff, you know? This is kind of what happened. You know, we had Kajikembo. Of course, you know, that came from Mitose first to William Chow to Adriano Imperato. and the four other guys that were with Imperato. They made Kaja Kimbo. What I've got here is Victor Sonny Gascon and Walter Godin learned Kaja Kimbo from Imperato. This is what I was told. Could be wrong, but this is what I've been told. Then they moved to California. I don't know when, you know, I wasn't born. I wasn't around back then. Not that old. They moved to California. And just like now we have affiliate fees, they didn't want to pay the dues to Kaja Kimbo in Hawaii. So they came up with the name Karazempo Goshin Jitsu. They took the Kaja Kimbo curriculum, but they named it something else. Then they started changing the techniques a little bit. And I might have this wrong, but the Kara Zenpo, Kara is for karate. Zen is for heaven. And Po is way, like Kempo, way of the fist. Yeah. Goshin Jitsu just means self-defense techniques. That's it. So it's like karate, Kempo, way, self-defense techniques.
And you were saying that
Goshin Jitsu sounds cooler.
And you were saying that was Walter Godin and
Godin and Gascon
and Gas
yeah, Sonny Gascon, G-A-S-C-O-N. Yeah,
who is according to the story you were told, and we're going to say that, okay, for anybody yelling right now, getting that's not what happened in all capital letters again. Right. What I think is important to note here is now in 2024. Someone who has never met, he's never like, look, Andy's not saying he's like he was best friends with Walter Godin and they were kicking back drinking beers in his front yard or anything, okay? He's just saying like this was what he was told from his instructor, who probably was told by his instructor, by that instructor, by this instructor.
Well, and I also did a lot of people. Yeah, and also I went to the pit in it was either 2008 2009. I have a certification under Hackelman, and he answered a lot of questions for me.
Okay.
And also opened my eyes to a lot of stuff, as you know, because you talk to Hackelman all the time. He's a wild dude. I love John. He's awesome. But like, you know, Godin and Gascon made Karazempo Goshin Jitsu. And from what I've read and was told, Godin eventually moved back to Hawaii. And that's where he taught John and others. And Gascon kept teaching in California. He taught a guy named George Pasare.
I'm going to stop you real quick.
Okay,
real quick, because I'm gonna link two histories that I know, and this is how we're gonna do it. This is what I heard, and I'm not a historian. Okay, don't get all mad. Not you. I'm talking to whoever's watching, getting all mad right now. You know who you are. You're mad right now. You're messaging me right now on my private messenger. That's not what happened. So this is important to note that we're talking about 2024, and he just said Walter Godin went back to Hawaii, because some of you might be already saying, what do you mean Walter Godin went to California? He's from Hawaii. He's been in Hawaii the whole time. That's not what happened. That story is BS, because Walter Godin was never in California. So he is saying that like it was more like he went to California and came back to Hawaii. So now Walter Godin is back in Hawaii to our time frame that we might, may or may not know, where he's now training Hackelman. This is now the 70s. More history. Your story about the fees is going to go into a really dark part of Kaja Kimbo history that I try to avoid talking about because people get really upset. But fuck it. It's my show. People can get upset. The story the Kaja Kimbo guys are told, and a lot of people don't like to talk about it on camera, and I'll talk about it on camera, is there was a fallout between Walter Godin and Imperato because of what happened to Joe Imperato. Joe Imperato was stabbed at a bar. And Walter Godin was there. There's a book written about it called The Black Robe, The Kaja Kimbo Connection. Check it out. Written by my friend David Tavares. It's on Amazon. It goes into great detail about what happened through police reports. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to take any sides here because I wasn't there. That happened way before I was even born. So I really have no stock in trying to go down that road. But the Kaja Kimbo guys, that's the story. I don't know if you've heard about this.
That's the story
that the Kaja Kimbo guys are told. That the split between Walter Godin and Sergio Imperato at that point in time. By the way, fast forward years later, they patch things up and everything's not okay, but okay, kind of. They kind of let it go. And that's why at the end of the day, you still see Walter Godin on the tree, and you also see his students, like John Hackleman, Chuck Liddell, Glover Teixeira, some big names there, on our tree because of that. So that's, so anybody who's watching 2024 right now, that's the story. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but that's what happened. Joe Imparato got stabbed at a bar. Walter Godin was there, and the family had a big fit about how things should have gone, whether Walter should have protected him and all this other stuff. So you can read a book about that. That's my little quick side quest. Now, right back to Andy, where he left off saying that Walter went back to Hawaii, and now this guy named Sonny Gascon is teaching Kata Zenpo Goshin Jitsu in California. All right, here we go.
And he taught a guy named George Pasare. George Pasare got his black belt, I guess. As we find out later on, some of these dudes never even got black belts, but that's a whole other story. You never know. Supposedly, Pasare got his black belt from Gascon. He goes to the East Coast, the Northeast, which is a big Kempo community in America, the Northeast. And he taught Nick Sirio. Nick Sirio got his black belt from Pasare. Nick Sirio was also into lots of other different styles of martial arts. Nick Sirio did not call it Kata Zenpo. He got his black belt under Pasare. And I think he got a black belt under Ed Parker as well, Ed Parker's Kempo. And he also, I think, got a black belt in like Shotokan Karate. And he mixed them all up, and he just called it Nick Sirio's Kempo. But his main curriculum was the Kata Zenpo Goshin Jitsu, which is combinations 1 through 26, which are supposedly based on the alphabet techniques of Kajikimbo. That's why there was originally 26 combos. But I've heard other things too. I've heard that it was started with 12 combinations and then moved up. Then there was 30, yada, yada, yada. But the big legend is the 26 combos were based on the alphabet techniques of Kajikimbo. I've looked at the alphabet techniques, and I know combinations 1 through 26. They look similar, but they're not the same thing.
Okay. And here's I just had some troll go on my self-defense. And also, Kajikimbo guys, some, because we're free to do whatever we want once we get our black belts. Some of the guys have reduced the numbers. Some of the guys have increased the numbers. Some of them have changed it. Someone jumped on my YouTube channel and was like, that doesn't look like any of the Kajikimbo I've ever learned. And my immediate response was, well, what lineage are you from? What branch are you from? And I was friendly about it, but the person didn't respond. And that's when I got mad, because I was like, hey, you can't just come in here as an anonymous, no face, no name, whatever, and say you're Kajikimbo and that I'm not Kajikimbo, and then not come through and tell me who you are or where you came from, start an argument and just walk away. So I was like, all right, that's messed up. Like, hey, let me know what branch you're from. Cause I know people, I probably know people you trained with at this point. I'm friends with people from the Gaylord branch. I'm friends with people now with Sempo Goshin. I keep making friends from different branches. So what you just mentioned right there about, hey, but the techniques I know don't look anything like the 26 techniques that I saw in the video goes along the lines of, well, even the techniques that supposedly I was taught techniques. And I say video, Gary Forback.
I've got that.
Yeah, Gary Forback's got the last. I've talked to Mitch Powell about this, who is a historian, and that DVD series, not the one from Century, the one that Gary Forback sells. Be careful with the one from Century. Gary Forback says that Century had they had like a little copyright dispute over that, and I'm not going to go into long details about that. But Gary Forback, please asks anyone who wants to buy that series to please personally contact him. He has the original series.
Oh, wow.
The Century one's a different series. That's all I'm going to say. For legal reasons, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. And hopefully I don't get I'm already having issues with copyright stuff. I don't want to go further into that.
Yeah, you told me about that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I got kicked off Facebook for a few days. Either way. Long story short, the techniques, those are the last techniques that were approved on a format, on a video format by Seijo. Seijo's in those videos. Those techniques, my techniques come from those techniques because my instructor works is under the Alan Abad lineage, and Alan Abad and Gary Forback, I met Gary Forback many times because they would train together. So my curriculum was all okayed by my instructor and okayed through by all those other instructors I just mentioned. Like, because as my instructor approved it, therefore it's all okay. It's all good. And I openly admitted to changing some of the techniques, which I say in the video. This is how I was shown. This is how I like to do it. So, so for that little tidbit where you said, but my techniques look totally different, because we're given the freedom, that might be what happened. Not to mention
The movements and concepts are pretty much the same, but the techniques, I mean, combination 1 through 26 do not look like alphabet techniques A through Z. They have similar moves, but it's not the same, which I thought it was, but there's a whole other thing about that too, because talking about Nick Sirio, like he learned from Pissarre, that Nick Sirio taught a guy, you probably heard of him, I don't know, named Fred Villari. Fred Villari is pretty infamous in the martial arts world. Fred Villari, V-I-L-L-A-R-I.
Okay.
He took the Kara Zenpo Goshin Jitsu curriculum, combinations 1 through 26, kata 1 through 5, and a form called, depending on who you ask, statue or stature of the crane.
Okay.
He took that, and then also Nick Sirio added pinyon or heian 1 through 5 from karate, Shotokan, all kinds of different styles. He added it to the curriculum. That is the basic white to black curriculum in Shaolin Kempo. It's the original Kara Zenpo curriculum plus the pinyons. And then some people say Villari got up to second degree. Some people say he just earned first degree. I don't know. Again, I wasn't there. This is the 70s. Allegedly, Villari went off and trained with a Shaolin monk or two somewhere. Comes back. All of a sudden, he's a 10th degree black belt. He has made combinations 27 to 108 and tells everybody these 108 combinations are from the Shaolin Temple. And then added a bunch of forms at all your degrees of black, which are more like Kung Fu, looking like the forms from white to black look similar to the Kajakimbo Palama sets, very similar movements and all, with slight differences, of course. And then, of course, Nick Sirio added the pinyons from karate, but everything from like first degree black belt on is more Kung Fu based and supposedly based on the animals. I don't know. I mean, some of it's good stuff, but it's a lot of material. I remember my black belt test, it was ridiculous, the amount of material that I had to do. Like all these different forms. And so you had your 26 combinations. Then you had 36 kempos. Kempos are variations of combinations. And they're all against like punch, just self-defense techniques. But it was so much stuff. And talking about Hackelman, when I went out to the pit, it was either 2008, 2009. You know how he is. He got rid of all that stuff. He's like, choreography shit doesn't work. It's useless. And I kind of thought that anyway. I was like, a lot of this stuff, they're the combinations in Kempos are variations of the same concept. And a lot of times they also do it against that straight uki punch where the person steps in with the punch, which is totally unrealistic. And I don't know. I still practice combinations 1 through 26, but I kind of put all that other extra material. I do my kata 1 through 5 and my crane form once a week with the end of my workout. But I've changed them around as well. I don't even teach them in my program. Like for my class, it's more like the pit. Like you get there, it's 20% conditioning, because conditioning is number one. Don't matter what kind of belt you have. If you're not in good shape, no good. 20% to 30% striking, 60% jiu-jitsu, but then we'll mix up the striking with the jiu-jitsu as well. So, and I tell the students, if you want to learn katas, I will teach you the katas, but it will be outside of class because we just don't have time in class. It's a lot to cover. And on Fridays, I'll call them old school Fridays. I'll pull out one or two of the old self-defense combos 1 through 26, and I've modified them to make them work. I hate to say that, but make them more effective. We don't do them against that uki punch, you know, where the person steps in and holds their arm out there for you to do all your... That's just not realistic.
So there's a few things that triggered people that I'm going to get to right now. Pinyons from karate. Any Kajakimbo guy is again typing in all caps. He's typing in all caps that the pinyons are not from karate. So I want to unpack that real quick. Why do you think the pinyons are from karate? And then I'm going to tell you what I heard And then I might be wrong. I'll say that. But
well, Pinyin supposedly in Okinawan means like forms of peace and calm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole, man. Nick Sirio supposedly he learned 1 through 5 from Shotokan, but I've got a good buddy of mine. He's like a 6th or 7th degree in Shorinru Karate, Okinawan Karate. And we're in the same town. And this was years ago. I went to his school. I was like, his name is Jay King, really cool guy. I was like, hey, Sensei King, let me show you my pinyons and I want to compare them to yours. And I'm busting through Pinyin 1. He's like, Andy, that's not Pinyin 1. That's Taikyoku Shodan. And in Japan, Taikyoku Shodan is the first form they teach mainly for kids. It's that I form. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go, boom, step in, you go this way, that way, then you go bam, 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 3 times. It looks like, depending on how you're looking, like a capital I or a capital H, depending on how you would look at it, the footwork. Okay. And our Pinyin 2 in Nick Sirio's Kenpo is Taikyoku 1 with different hand techniques in there. The Pinyin 1, or in Japan, they call them Heian. Okinawa is Pinyin. In Japan, they call it Heian. So that's a whole other thing as well. But it's the same thing.
I'm going to clear something up real quick. So,
call some of the forms Pinyin.
They do. They do. Some schools have them Pinyin. Some call them Palamasets. So, like, my Pinyin Palamaset 1 opens up with you step out in a horse stance, you do an outside block, and then you step back in a horse stance, you do a down block, and then you step back in a horse stance, and you do an inside block. Does any of this sound like anything that you do?
I mean, similar, but I see what you're talking about. I think they just use the word.
Okay.
Pinyin. But if you look up your Okinawan and Japanese history,
those movements, I just mentioned is no. Okay. So here's what we're gonna do then. Right now. So any Kajikembo was like, oh, then he's not Kajikembo. He's not doing palamas or pinyons. But here's the thing. Here's the more interesting thing. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe Andy did not. But Andy's being very, very, very honest about this. He's saying, I don't think it was a pinyon at all. He's already saying that. Right? And he's also not saying that he's directly in the Kajikembo lineage. We're not even saying that conversation. Well, I'm just wondering why sometimes I'm up into Kempo guys saying, hey, I'm in the Kajikembo lineage, right? And that's why we're having this conversation. So let's get back to this pinyon karate thing. To my knowledge, they're very limited. That's gonna keep disclaiming this because every time I say this, people get mad. I can already think of a particular person, a particular grandmaster is gonna be sending me messages after this episode. You know who you are.
Tell me afterwards.
I'm gonna get a message from this guy. To my knowledge, after talking to Mitch Powell for a while and off camera and on camera, when I keep asking him where these forms came from, there's not a lot of, do I say, according to my opinion, evidence that shows that they came from Japan. I'll say that right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, when I did the episode with him and I asked him, like, Kajikembo in its development didn't have forms and suddenly did.
Mm-hmm.
But in its development, when they were developing it in the 40s and they even came up with the name, there still wasn't forms. And then suddenly when it finally came out into the public, suddenly there was forms. And mm-hmm. I probably should do an occult podcast on just that, and I will. Today's not that day. I'm just going to say that there's a big question mark for me, and many of you have different stories about this. I know you're, no, it did come from Okinawa. Yes, it did. We already cleared up in the last episode I did with Mitch that Tang Sudo was not part of the system. And that was the last bit of karate that was left. It seems like a lot of Kenpo. And the karate part is very, very, I don't know. That's all I got to say. So I just accept it for face value. I do Kajikembo, and the Palama sets that are taught in the Kajikembo lineage, if you come from the Adriano brothers, not from the Katazempo lineage. Let's get this out of the way right now. Mm-hmm. If you started with Katazempo, we already established way earlier that it's split off. That's why you're not going to find Andy on the Kajikembo tree. It's split off. He's saying, hey, this guy left Kajikembo, so this is another tree that we don't have as Kajikembo guys that they have.
I don't know if I'm on there. When I went to the pit,
were you on there?
2009. No, but Fred Villari was on there.
Fred Villar. Because
it actually it had a Cara Zempo little thing in one of
the Okay, yeah,
floors.
I saw that. Backlund, I saw that.
All giant right. poster.
Okay.
And Fred Villar was on there.
Okay.
So I would be under that. But the thing is, but here's the thing. I hate to sound disrespectful. Villar did a lot of, from what I was told by all my teachers, he got a lot of dudes up to like blue and green belt, gave them black belts, and then started a franchise up and down the East Coast.
That was a Shaolin Kempo franchise?
Yeah. He didn't call it Kara Zempo Goshin Jitsu.
And he called it Shaolin Kempo, right?
Shaolin Kempo.
And but they ended up in the West Coast too, right?
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a whole, I've got that here if you want to talk about that.
Okay, so they ended up in the East Coast and the West Coast. Because I remember seeing Shaolin Kempo schools in my area when I was doing Kaja Kempo. And I asked my instructor, hey, what's the difference between Shaolin Kempo and Kaja Kempo? They're like, no, that's a different type of Kempo. It's more related to Ed Parker, is what he would say. And then Ed Parker's on our trip too, by the way.
It's totally.
And according to your story, it kind of is, because like I see Ed Parker, Kempo, George Pasari, and then Nick Sirios, and then suddenly Fred Villari. So it kind of makes sense that my instructor wasn't without my instructor being a geek and lineages, he kind of did hit the nail on the head. He said it's probably related to Ed Parker, Kempo, and it's not like direct relation, but from your story so far, and then it went. For you, just a quick name drop. It went from Fred Villari to...
Okay, from Fred Villari, we go to Stephen Damasco.
Stephen Damasco. Hold on a second.
Stephen Damasco kind of... I think he's the guy that moved Shaolin Kempo to the West Coast. And I'm forgetting his ex-partner, his ex-business partner. It was Damasco and some other guy. I'm totally blanking.
No worries. So then it goes real quick. We'll get to their stories of what they did, but I just want to get the names to where you were at. So Stephen Damasco to...
From Stephen Damasco to Leo Michaud. And he's not very popular. It's M-I-C-H-A-U-D.
Okay. And then...
He was at my first degree black belt test.
Okay. And then it goes to...
Then, all right. It's not really complicated. Two of my guys. His main student was a guy named Ron Searles, R-O-N-N-S-U-R-E-L-S. Cool thing about Ron moved to California, became a big stuntman. When you saw the old Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck, all the fight scenes are Ron.
Oh, that's funny. That's so Ron Searles, and then... Yep.
Okay, then I got my first degree under Master Michaud and Ron Searles.
Michaud. Okay, so Leo Michaud and Ron Searles are your instructors.
Leo is Ron's teacher. Okay, and for my black belt test, Ron was Leo Michaud, yeah. When Ron was ready to test me for black belt, he brought Master Michaud in town for my test.
Okay, so Ron's your instructor. Okay, and why am I doing I'm doing a quick name drop. Because for anybody who follows anybody, and then we'll talk about who they, what they did and everything. But just for any, I'm just trying to keep Kaja Kempo guys up to speed here.
Yeah, so dude, I've got this just for that purpose, in case anybody's like, what's your lineage?
You're
like,
So here's the deal. Like, so from Fred Villari to Stephen Damasco to Leo to Ron Searles, and these are all names. So if Fred is on the, you said you saw Fred on the Kaja Kempo tree.
Yeah. Okay. Under the Kara Zempo, when it split off to Kara Zempo.
You see Fred, and then it shows Fred's students under him? Or does it just say Fred?
I mean, this was 2009. It was a good ways ago. I just remember saying, I was going to make sure that at least part of my lineage was on that poster.
Okay. Hackleman. But you saw Fred Villari. But do you remember seeing names under Fred Villari?
Not really, no.
Okay. Because
I just want to make sure.
I need to make sure. I have my tree over there. But anybody watching, well, from my knowledge, from what I saw, Kara Zempo, that's what I said. Kara Zempo just says Kara Zempo. It mentions a few names. Then it just kind of disappears. Mm-hmm. So, like, for anybody watching, what probably happened was when Fred Villari is on our tree. If Fred Villari is on our tree and there's no names under him, like it's just a simple thing. Because if Fred Villari is on the tree, you saw Fred Villari on the tree. That means that Fred Villari is definitely recognized as a Kaja Kempo guy for whatever reason. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows what the story is there? But for some reason, his name's on there, so they're definitely recognizing him as a Kaja Kempo guy. But Fred Villari did not contact Philip Gelinas and add people. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did it sporadically. And that's why you might not be on the tree.
He probably didn't, because he promoted himself to 10th degree black belt. So, and made up this thing that his style of Kenpo, most of it from like from first degree to 10th degree, is all Shaolin.
Yeah, it's got 106 techniques. He was blessed by the Shaolin monks. He didn't need Koju Kenpo anymore. Sorry.
Pretty much, dude, that's pretty much it. That's why I when people ask me what I teach, I either say Kenpo Karate or I just say Hawaiian Kenpo, because I know that's John's kind of trademark, his system, but it's all Hawaiian Kenpo. It all came from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And it's Kenpo. So, you know.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, it's all because of William Chow, which, yeah. Oh man, William Chow's got just as colorful background story as Fred Vallari.
Oh, and Matosi, too.
Yeah,
Matosi and Chow.
Yeah, Matosi and Chow. Especially Chow, man. Especially Chow's got a very similar story where he kind of disappears, comes back, and he's a 10th degree or some like bunch of stripes. And it's weird because I look at the history with when I talk to John, John's like, well, for the longest, we didn't have titles. And Godin didn't have the, like, 10th degree stuff, and then later he did, but when I was in it was pretty much your black belt, then you're a chief instructor, and that's about it. There was no Sifu, Sigang. It was just master chief and chief instructor, and those were the only titles we had. So somewhere in the history, in all of the Kenpo world, they all wanted 10th degrees.
Didn't Chow elevate himself to
15th
degree?
I'm not gonna go there, but it was something kind of ridiculous.
Somebody asked him, they said, why are you 15th degree? And he said, if everybody else is 10th degree, the professor is 15th degree.
So like somewhere along the lines in the Kenpo world, they decided that having a black belt just wasn't enough. And yeah. We need to add more stripes. And I for all you people that are laughing, that are coming from something like jiu-jitsu, you actually stuck around this conversation this long, even though you do jiu-jitsu, you're like, oh, yeah, fuck this, I'm out. Hey, guess what's happening to jiu-jitsu now? It used to be that if you were a purple belt, you were a badass. There was no purple belts in America. If you were a purple belt, damn. A blue belt, wow, you can run your own school of blue belt, because there was just no black belts anywhere to be found. And it just, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has a very similar story where black belt was well, more than good enough. Black belt was it. That was the epitome in America for the longest. And then suddenly they're getting second degrees, third degrees, can't run a school till you're a third degree, can't promote someone to run their own school till you're a fourth degree. You can be a third degree and run your own school, but you have to be a fourth degree to have a student under you run their own school. Suddenly,
I think now you can't promote someone to black until you're third degree.
Yeah, third degree. You can't promote someone to black and run your own school. Pretty much that's the same time you'd run your own academy, because then you can promote someone to black and people can start repping your school. You can't run your own school independently outside of from under your instructor till you're a third degree. Quote unquote, those are the rules.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And now they have professors. So
yeah, third degree is supposed to be professor, but now a lot of just black belts.
I have no idea but I don't understand. Just I barely understand the Kenpo politics. Don't get me started, jiu-jitsu politics.
Oh,
but what I want to get anybody who's watching this long, who's doing jiu-jitsu, kind of laughing at this whole story, it's coming for you. That's all I gotta say. Give it another 10 years, you're gonna have two jiu-jitsu guys having the same conversation I'm having right now with Andy, but they won't be Kenpo guys. They'll be Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys saying, hey.
Well, you and I can talk about both. You're a brown belt, right?
Yeah, I'm a brown belt. I'm a brown belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah, and I'm about to have another. Yeah, there's a and that's a whole other can of worms that I'm gonna open pretty soon. I have to avoid. I'm not going to say the guest's name because I don't want to get him in trouble, because he's under a different lineage, and we're going to try to keep him out of trouble, because he can get in trouble if he says the wrong thing. But I will say that this is where it gets kind of weird. So let's get back to
a couple of more names if you want them. Well,
let's just get back real quick to your Fred Vallari starts Shaolin Kenpo, and then Stephen Damasco brings that to the West Coast.
Yeah. Before he taught, Master Michel got his black belt from Damasco in the East Coast. And then Damasco moved out. Damasco started USSD, United Studios of Self-Defense.
I've heard that.
That's where you see him all on the West Coast. And Charlie Matera, that is his name. It was Stephen Damasco and Charlie Matera. And they partnered up, and I think they've had since had a falling out. And but what those two have done over the years, over the last like 20, 30 years, they've actually made lots of pilgrimages to the Shaolin Temple to officially get recognized by the Shaolin Temple.
And they're still around.
Even though what we did not come from the Shaolin Temple.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they go over there, you know, and have, they take their students over to the Shaolin Temple and do workouts and have ceremonies and all that stuff.
And they're still around. The United Studios of Self-Defense is still around. And I told you the story goes, my story, I'll throw this in there. I told Andy this story. It's pretty funny. My story with the United Studios of Self-Defense is, and they used a bonsai tree. I think I don't think I'll get in trouble for showing a picture. That's just a quick picture for a few seconds. This is their gi, and this is their patch right here. They got like little bonsai patch, right? This is, and it's the Mr. Miyagi bonsai. So my story of United Studios Self-Defense, when I was a blue belt, I think it was around the time that I just got done competing, and I didn't like competing, but my instructor convinced me to do this tournament because they had an open rule set where they were allowing, at the time, I didn't know much about MMA, but they pretty much had MMA rules. We can do ground and pounds and submissions. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm in. I just finished that tournament, and I was kind of arrogant, and I was drinking, and I went to Blockbuster Video. This is how I'm really dating this right here. I just got out of Blockbuster Video, and my girlfriend drove me there. So I wasn't drinking and driving, because you're wondering, but I did have a few drinks, and I walked by United Studios Self-Defense. I look inside what they're doing. They were doing like some no touch sparring stuff. And I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go in there and start some shit. So like, I went in there and I'm like, hey, so do you guys ever do any what do you guys do here? And he started talking to me about what they do. And the instructor came on and started talking to me. And you know, the guy was really nice. I got to give him that much. Like, he put up with a guy who obviously probably smelled like alcohol and was like in his 20s with dreadlocks. kind of questioning everything he's doing. I was like, so you guys do like no touch sparring? Like, do you guys actually do contact? He's like, yeah, you know, we sometimes do light contact. And I'm like, so you guys have tournaments? Do you guys compete? I started naming off tournaments, and he's like, no, we only have in-house tournaments. And I was like, well, you know, how are you guys gonna know how good you are if you don't go out there and actually compete? And he's like, are you trying to say you want to spar? I'm like, yeah, okay, let's spar, man. If you want to spar, I'll come back on Friday. We'll do this. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we'll see. But, you know, if you want to join, let me know. You can come in. He kind of just kind of brushed me off. And I walked out. And then I told my instructor later that weekend about what happened. And he's like, you did what? You got to go back there and apologize. That was fucking rude. Like, and I was like, oh. So, like, the next week I went back in. They're like, with my head down, I'm back in here because last week I came in here and, you know, I was drinking and I was intoxicated. My instructor said that was really disrespectful. And I had to apologize. Yeah. And I apologize to the guys. So that's my story of United Studios of Self-Defense. So, yeah. So yeah, I ended up having to stick my foot in my mouth, which I do quite a bit. So after that, that's Stephen Damasco. He's the one who started. And that school is still around. I wasn't sure, but that franchise is still around and kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like the West Coast Kempo. You know, it's like Taro Zenpo came to the West Coast, went to the East Coast. Volari expanded it on the East Coast. Then Damasco and Matera moved it to the West Coast. And like that, I said, I don't think they are together anymore. So. Okay.
All right. So, but either way, so that's kind of the tie-in for that, because that's all under Fred Volari, who is on the Kaja Kempo tree. And again, for the Kaja Kempo guys following, I'll have to go back to my tree. You can go look up Fred Valari's on there. But from my knowledge, a lot of the people from there, same with Ed Parker. Ed Parker's on there. And then Rudy's kind of saying, and Ed Parker did Ed Parker Kempo. And we're not going to make our tree any larger because of that. Okay, some more things, questions I have. So you were saying they do the uke against the uke karate guy who comes in with a lead punch, drawn hand back, right?
I don't teach it that way anymore, but that's what we had to learn when we're doing the combinations, self-defense techniques. The person does the uki punch with the step-through punch. totally unrealistic.
My instructor would go through both. He liked to do the haymaker and also the straight punch. Historically, after talking to Mitch, historically it was supposed to be against a straight.
Yeah.
What they would call a sucker punch in boxing, because you'd have to be a sucker to fall for a straight. You'd have to be a sucker to fall for a straight and without the guy throwing a jab set up first. So that's the idea of what a sucker punch is actually defined in boxing. So it was actually a straight punch, and then the guy would hold it out there to do whatever you're going to do. Some school, like you said, modified it to a haymaker. And then the haymaker that you do whatever you're gonna do to counter that. So that clears up that in case anybody's asking about that. All right.
Going to the pit, and Hackerman was like, I don't teach any of that shit anymore. It doesn't work.
John, for anybody wondering, and I've talked about John. John has decided to do what they call what's that economic term, ecological learning. Is that it? Ecological learning, ecological framework examples. There it is. Yeah. So it's called ecological models or perspective it's the ecological model essentially decides to focus on, how to put this? There was a guy who did a jiu-jitsu, Stefan Kesting, who's also a Kajikimbo black belt.
Yeah.
He had a guy.
I watch his videos on YouTube.
Yeah, he's got a podcast called the Strenuous Life Podcast. Check it out. He interviewed a jiu-jitsu guy who's doing this ecological model. Now, some people are doing the ecological model and don't know they're doing it, and this guy actually knows he's doing it because he studied it in college. And essentially, it's principle-based learning. It's principle-based learning with no patterns. So essentially, you're going to learn. You're going to learn all your basics, how to punch, how to kick, how to grapple, how to do everything you're going to do. But we're not going to set any pattern to it whatsoever. And we're just going to practice on getting very efficient at executing the move. And then every week, you'll be thrown into a different scenario for a different setup to set up your self-defense technique, but we're not going to call it a one or a two. And we're probably not going to keep doing that. We're going to do that 1 week, and then we're going to do something else the next week. And every week it's going to be something new coming at you based off of the framework that you've already built. So if you already know how to throw a left hook, you already know how to throw a jab, you already know how to punch and kick, then we're just going to start having the guy, okay, what if the guy clinches you? Okay, then you're going to create a space and then come in for your left hook. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing this week. And well, John, where'd you get that from? Oh, I saw UFC 300 and I saw Alex Pereira do that. He set up with a low kick into, so that's what are you doing this week? So we're setting up today with a low kick into a left hook. This is an example. That's not actually what happened, but this
I gotcha.
For anybody watching, this is how he comes up with his curriculum. It's curriculum, kind of. It is. I mean, it's written down, but it's changing all the time and it's never the same thing twice. So for anybody wondering, it's a different perspective in teaching. A lot of MMA guys do this, by the way. A lot of MMA coaches do this. They change according to what they saw in a fight. A lot of boxers do this too. A lot of boxing coaches will watch a boxing match and be like, wow, right, this is how the Mike Tyson peekaboo became a thing. So like, oh, what's he doing? He's doing the Mike Tyson peekaboo. And then suddenly everyone's practicing the Mike Tyson peekaboo. So it's like, it's the same kind of concept where we're not saying, okay, the Mike Tyson peekaboo, like a kata, is Mike Tyson peekaboo number one is first you come down and then you do this, and we're going to keep practicing this over and over again. They don't do it that way, right? So, like, that's more of a Kempo thing. All right. What else you got?
Well, cool. The other two names after Damasco to Michelle and how it all ties in with me, Ron, after he moved to L.A., became a stuntman. I had to find another instructor. So I looked online. I found ShaolinKempo.com, and there was Tom and Gargiola. It's a complicated last name, Ingargiola. But I found out he was a black belt under Leo Michal. Okay. So I look him up, start talking to him. One of his black belts, Ken Longacre, moved to Myrtle Beach, which is about 5 hours from me in Virginia. And I go to Myrtle Beach once or twice a year. I have for years. I've been training under Master Longacre now for, 20 years. And he's an awesome guy, but that's the whole family tree. So it's, you know, from Damasco to Michal to those guys. So it's pretty cool. Then, you know, I got Hackelman started offering certifications back in, you know, mid to late 2000s. I was like, ah, I want to check this out. So I went out there and it was awesome. I loved it. But that's where I was kind of, I like the katas and the techniques, but I was kind of like, some of this stuff is not going to work. It's just, it's not good moves. It's not efficient. When you're doing a kata, like Hackelman's always talking about, you got your hands like this and this and to get your hands up, you know, and he's like telling me, yeah, I got rid of all that stuff. It doesn't work. So I just reevaluated all those techniques that I've been doing for years. And I still practice them, but I've modified them and I've shown Master Longacre and he thinks it's cool because he loves MMA. He loves jiu-jitsu. He's a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's 65 years old now. He's trying to work on up. I'd like to be the one to get him to black belt in jiu-jitsu. So that's my goal. So Master Longacre, he's the man. He's a good dude. He's helped me out a whole lot. But yeah, that's the lineage. I mean, it's, I don't like to say Shaolin Kempo, and I'm sure some people are going to get mad because they're black belts under Valari and they believe everything, but it's just a lot of cheesy stuff that was told. Like, I remember I brought Master Michal up one time for a seminar. And we were going over the combinations and stuff, and he's like, Andy, they're just exercises. And he was the first one. I'm talking about the combinations. I was like, but aren't the combinations from the Shaolin Temple? And Master Michal goes, Andy, it's like, it's all bullshit made up by Fred Valari to get students. And I was kind of devastated. I was like,
the sacred really? Texts. The
sacred yeah, texts. Exactly. And because I started out as a kid, like 12 years old, in Kung Fu. Because I like some styles of Kung Fu. And I'm like, wow, I'm, you know, when I saw Shaolin Kempo, I was like, well, cool, well, I can keep going with my Kung Fu lineage and this. And Master Michal was like, Andy, it's all bullshit. I was just like,
Santa Claus is not real. Sorry.
Pretty much. And then Hackelman says the same thing, but times 10.
Oh, yeah.
Like, none of that shit works. I'm like, yeah, you're pretty much right.
So for anybody who kept up with this, why did I bring this on the show about, you know, because I saw Kata Zenpo on there and I've seen people ask, what about Kata Zenpo? When I'm talking to John. Some guy jumped on in the live mm-hmm. and commented, what about Kata Zenpo something? I'm like, I've heard Kata Zenpo and I've heard a lot of stories about that.
I was in the car. I look every Wednesday when you guys do the podcast, it's right when I'm leaving my dojo. So as soon as I get in the car, I'm like, gotta cut it on. I'm listening to it. And I'm driving down the road and I hear you talking about Kata Zenpo. And I was just like, I can't answer this right now. I'm driving.
Yeah, don't text and drive. Thank you for following the show. For anybody who doesn't know, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, I do another show with John on his channel at the pit online dojo, and his channel is I gotta be careful because like I said lately I got hit with copyright shit. Even though John's giving me 100% okay to do everything, and I'm running everything, and I even manage his page. I tried to send that as evidence over to another social media platform that I shouldn't mention because I'm trying to avoid copyright problems. Long story short, I also do that on that channel. So check it out every Wednesday.
When I went to the pit, talking about Godin, when I went out to the pit, I was asking him because Godin supposedly is a combination in Kempo, Kara Zenpo called Combination 4 that was supposedly Godin's favorite. He made it. I showed it to Hackelman and he's like, Godin didn't make that. And I was like, that's what everybody says. And he looked it up and he's like, he never showed that shit to me. Plus it wouldn't work anyway. It's like you do a high block and a grab and a tiger rake and a roundhouse kick and all this stuff. And he's like, eh. Because he's told you the same thing. Like Godin said, just do it. And when you get your black belt, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So. That was Godin's saying. But yeah, mm-hmm. but like for the Kaju Kempo guys, I'll just let you know that Kata Zenpo is an archery. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
And then here's another thing that, and people always ask me, why do you have people on the show that aren't on archery saying that they're related to Kaju Kempo? It's almost like they're saying Kaju Kempo guys. But and I want to say, like, in our whole conversation, it's not like you're not exactly saying I'm a Kaju Kempo guy. You're saying I'm related to you guys because of the way that our tree works and mm-hmm. our techniques look similar, but they're not the same.
And what I want to say is I think it's important to keep an eye out for people, because I don't see how do I say this without being without getting someone's panties in a twist? I think we have more in common with them than we would like to admit. I think we have more common than we'd like to admit. And for those people that like to run around the internet saying that guy's not Kajikembo, that's Kajikembo, that's not Kajikembo, I think it matters a lot to us Kajikembo guys, but the general public honestly doesn't care. I know this video is probably going to get less than 100 views because of that.
I'll share it. I'll get it.
If it gets over, if it goes over 100, it's because a bunch of Kajikembo guys got their panties in a twist just to share it and get mad and go into the YouTube comments and argue about lineages.
It's like we were talking about. I mean, it's like it was Kajikembo. Then, you know, Gascon and Godin didn't want to pay the affiliate dues or whatever. And like the story you said as well. So they came up with Kara Zempo Go Shinjitsu. Then when it went to the East Coast, I guess Nick Sirio just didn't want to call it Kara Zempo, or maybe he didn't want to pay affiliate dues. So he just called it Nick Sirio's Kempo.
Yeah.
But he's still teaching the same stuff. But every system is like, you and I could get together and make a system because we like to do things this way and that way and make up a name. That's all they are. I mean, it's pretty much punching, kicking, blocking, grappling, you know?
Yeah, and like, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, I prefer what's going on the mats.
Mm-hmm.
that's my biggest thing. So, like, I know we're almost...
People ask what I teach. I say I teach Kempo and Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, and because the average person from the public really doesn't care. They really don't.
They don't.
Yeah, the average person from the public, they just want to know, are you teaching something legit, especially nowadays? Mm-hmm. And what are they going to compare it to? They're going to compare it to MMA. That's what most people are doing nowadays. So if they walk into your school and they see you doing a bunch of kata, a bunch of horse stances, they're going to walk right out. Sorry.
Yep.
If that's what you're doing, I'm just speaking from the general public's point of view. Now, every so once in a while, you have a martial arts geek who's like cool with the horse stances and the blocks and the kata, and they're okay with that. But for the most part, a lot of young folks, a lot of young men, particularly, ages of 18 and 25 will walk into a place and they're just looking for something that's effective, and not even people beating the crap out of each other. They're looking for people who are doing live grappling, live sparring with grappling. And if they see that, even if you are doing the horse stances and the kata, if they do see that, if they see a cage in the corner, like there's a place called Kinji's Kajikembo out in Inglewood, and Kinji's got like a cage set up. And, and he's a really traditional Kajikembo guy. That their curriculum is very traditional Kajikembo, but they like to bang. So like they have every Friday they do like sparring nights. And if a young guy went into a sparring night, he's going to see people live sparring with ground and pound, and they'll see that and they'll go along. As long as they see that, if all you're doing is kata and horse stances and blocks, then good luck. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe some people will sign up to that. Maybe they won't. We're almost out of time. Is there anything else you didn't mention that you wanted to mention?
I don't think so. I mean, we pretty much covered it, you know, from Hawaii to California to the East Coast, and then, you know, back to the West Coast through the USSD and all that stuff. So I think we covered all the names, but, you know, it's all under the Kajikembo family tree. And it's, you know, I just don't like calling it Shaolin Kempo, because I'm sure some of the Shaolin Kempo guys who are Volari diehards are going to be like, it is Shaolin. It didn't come from the Shaolin Temple. It did not.
and even in your story, like, you ended up going under a guy who was from Shaolin Kempo, but it sounds like they're not part of that United Studios of Self-Defense. Like, they're affiliated. Yeah. They're not paying their dues to that, so they're doing their own Kempo thing.
Yeah.
Again,
Professor Ngargiola, he was under Damasco, and then he broke away and broke away from him and Valari, and he started his own group as well.
Yeah.
With a lot more focus on live sparring and drilling. So
again, like, just looking at the history, and again, he's not saying, like I said, it's under the Kara Zempo, it's under the Kajikembo umbrella. We said Kajikembo tree. I have to be careful with that, because they'll look for your name and they'll say you're not on it.
Yeah, I got you.
So like, I keep reminding people, like, from his perspective, again, you look at the Kara Zempo and you follow the names, that's where he ends up. He's not saying he's on the Kajikembo tree.
They don't believe me. They can shoot me a message, and I will take a screenshot of my family tree and send it to them so they can.
Yeah, if you really want to go that far, you can look up Andy Sauer. Sauer, did I say that right?
Did I mess up your name? What was that? Eddie Henson. I mashed Pedro Sauer and Andy all in one. Andrew, I told this would happen eventually. Andy Henson, you can look him up on Facebook or on Instagram. Mm-hmm. What's the name of your school again?
I teach out of the Jamerson YMCA in Lynchburg. Okay. Jamerson YMCA Martial Arts. I've been teaching there for over 20 years because I do that three nights a week, and I'm also a professional musician, singer and guitar player, all that good stuff. So.
And what's the name of your program?
Just Kempo and Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay, it's just called Kempo
Jiu-Jitsu. Jamerson YMCA Martial Arts. If you go on Facebook, Jamerson YMCA Martial Arts. And then when you click on it, you'll see the big poster. It says Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kempo Karate.
All right, so.
Because again, I call it Kempo Karate because mom and dad don't know what Kajakembo, Karazempo, they don't know what any of that means.
And you weren't going to call it Kajakembo anyway, because that bothers people, really. That bothers Kajakembo guys a lot. It's not like you were going to call it that anyway. But again, you said, what was it? It was Jamerson
YMCA Martial Arts.
Jamerson YMCA Martial Arts. There we go. There it is right here.
Yep.
Boom. That's you right there. So there it is. If you're interested in dropping by to train.
There should be a picture in my lineage with me and Hackelman with Glover and Chuck at the Pitt graduation in 2009 after like 3 or 4 days of training. So that's pretty cool. That's the Y page. If you go to Facebook. Okay. Yeah, that's mine.
Oh, okay. So here it is right here. All right.
Yep, that's it. Boom. Yep.
There it is right there. Okay.
Yep.
There it is. So, and
Jiu-Jitsu. Well, that one just says Jiu-Jitsu. I've got a couple of different ones. If you click on the circular one, it should say Kempo and Jiu-Jitsu.
On the circular one. Oh, here. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yep. There you go.
It's in Kempo Karate. Yeah. There you go. And that's, so if you're interested in coming by for a class, the reason I just did the screen share is if you're into Virginia, right?
Yep, Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yeah, if you're in Lynchburg, Virginia, and you want to do some training, you can stop by down there and train.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you so much for coming out and sharing that information. And again, face value, folks. Please don't get your panties in a twist. You know, this is just... and one of these episodes, once a month. I don't guarantee every week. But I will guarantee once a month or more, one or more a month. I talk about martial arts. Lately, a lot about lineage. I want to get away from this topic. But you can check it out. And thank you for supporting the show.
All right. Boom.